For our scripture reading, we turn this evening to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 2. This is a familiar story of Rahab who hid the two Israelite spies. Reading from God's Word, Joshua chapter 2. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." And so they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. And so she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." Now she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, "Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." So the men said to her, "We will be blameless in this oath of ours, of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it will be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear." And then she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over. They came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." This truly is the word of the Lord. The focus, again, keeping this all in context, are the words that Rahab gives to the two spies in verses 9 and following. Congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when the writer of the Hebrews lists the great heroes and heroines of faith, he mentions two women, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and Rahab, the harlot. Rahab is remembered for her tremendous act, really of godly courage, when she receives the two spies and hides them and protects them from the king of Jericho. And she is cataloged with the heroes and heroines of faith. And as we noted in Matthew 1, she is listed as one of the mothers of David and one of the ancestresses of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you think about the four women mentioned in Matthew 1, Tamar, who basically tricks her father-in-law Judah into being intimate so that she has children. You think of Rahab, whose lifestyle as a harlot in the Canaanite city of Jericho was most unseemly and ungodly. Ruth, a Moabitess, who comes from outside of Israel and enters into the family of Boaz. And then the adulteress, Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah, with whom David was intimate. You think about that. These are the mothers of Christ, who in their own particular way act that catches your act in such a way that it gets your attention, who in their own particular way bring an advance in the kingdom of God and are engrafted into the covenant line, so that humanly speaking, the blood which flowed through the veins and arteries of our Lord Jesus Christ includes not just Israelites, Jews, but these women as well. Now, these women were sinners. We don't paper that fact over. Now, in Jewish tradition, they look at a person like Rahab and Ruth. These are wonderful women. But you know why? They're converts to Judaism. But the scriptures remember them for something else. That these women are used of the Lord in circumstances that we can't always endorse, but in ways that bring into this world our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever sins these women had, and they had many, they're not mentioned by Matthew at all. Not at all. One tradition says about Rahab that she becomes Joshua's wife and that there are 8 sons who become prophets. But that's not really what the scriptures say. Rahab is also frequently called a harlot, a prostitute in scripture. And that the text, as we read in Joshua 2, never goes into any details about her lifestyle. It names her, just uses a word to describe her, and then moves on. She, in fact, may have been the keeper of the local motel. These men lodged there. She supplemented her income with flax and perhaps linen. But yes, she was a lady of the night. But don't direct your attention to her immorality, her harlotry, because it is an act of faith that brings this Canaanite woman into the people of God, into the kingdom of God, and becomes a mother of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And so I want us to focus upon this passage in Joshua chapter 2 under the theme, by a fearful faith, Rahab lives. By a fearful faith, Rahab lives. And notice, first of all, her fear, then her faith. Notice also her work, her works. And finally, her Redeemer, who is behind this whole story. Now, if you know the map, Jericho was a major city, very major, important city, that stood between the people of God on the east side of the Jordan and the rest of the land of Canaan. It's kind of a doorway, you might say. It's a doorway into the land. And Jericho at this time is suffering from its own jitters, because these people knew full well of what the Israelites had done. There was talk of war in the air, invasion. They remember many of them. They remember what happened 40 years ago when the people of God came out of Egypt, how the Lord dried up the Red Sea and the people of God came out on dry ground. But more recently, they heard the news of what the Israelites had done to two Amorite kings on the east side. Sihon and Og had not only been defeated, but they had been utterly destroyed by the Israelites. And now the Israelites are camped on the east side of the Jordan. Now, maybe there were those in Jericho who were still trying to bolster the confidence of the citizens of Jericho. Look, folks, the Jordan is flooding. The Israelites will never be able to get any sizable armed force across a flooding river. And furthermore, we have thick walls. But our young people, our boys and girls understand, we all know the story, what God can do to bodies of water. If he cuts through them, the land goes dry and his people come through. And those walls, just shout, and God will bring the walls of Jericho down. We know that. We know that. And so Jericho has the jitters, and then secretly into the city come two spies. And they are spotted. They are noticed. And it is noticed that they go to the home of Rahab, which may have been, which was in the city wall and may have been on the west or northwest side of the city. Now, in ancient times as well as in modern times, kings would often use prostitutes to get information. If travelers would stay with Rahab, the king of Jericho could easily go to her and say, "Well, what did you learn from these trading caravans that come through? What do you know?" In fact, that still happens today. Maybe some of you remember the incident in the American embassy in Moscow, where the Soviet, the Russian government, used prostitutes to get information from the Marines who guarded that embassy. Now, she tells a lie, and we can't paper that over either. Now, again, the scripture does not endorse lying. It is wrong to lie. Liars go to hell. But also bear in mind this, that in Oriental culture, if you welcome someone into your home, you now become responsible for their protection and their keeping, their well-being. And that was considered a great virtue. And Rahab was following, at one level, at least the social customs of the day. But far more important is this. Let me ask you, why should she give any more assistance to the king of Jericho when her own loyalties were beginning to turn away from her country, her city, her culture, Canaanite, and her loyalties are now turning towards the people of God, the coming of the kingdom of God? Why should she give any more help to the Jericho king? Jericho has the jitters, but so does Rahab. And so before those two men go to sleep, she comes up to speak with them. She says, "We're afraid. We've heard these stories, things that your God did many years ago, four decades ago. We've heard the stories of what your people, what your God has done to Amorite kings more recently. Your God dried up the waters of the Red Sea. Your God destroyed these Amorite kings. We melted. We moved from strong ice to we melted. Courage left us. We're scared. I'm scared. I know what you will do to us if you come and conquer the city. You will destroy us. And I don't want to die. I don't want my mom and my dad, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to us to die. Please," she says, "spare us from death." Rahab is therefore typical, so typical, of all the other citizens of Canaan, and especially the city of Jericho. But you know, you see that same phenomenon throughout Scripture, you see it throughout church history. That when the kingdom of God makes an advance, the status quo cannot remain the same, and those who hold power are afraid. Think of the wise men who come from the east, and they come to the city of Jerusalem, that's the capital, And they say, "We have seen the star of one who is now born king of the Jews." Where is he? And Herod is anxious, and the text says, "All Jerusalem with him." Now, if the true king of the Jews is being born, why wouldn't people be welcoming him? But they're afraid. They're afraid. Even to this day, where Christianity advances, and we don't advance through conquering armies, as some religions have in past, we bring a simple message. We seek to live in love to God alone and to our neighbors, and yet Christians throughout history have been hated, pursued, banned, persecuted, driven from their homes, and killed, martyred. You know, because we have our loyalties focused upon the coming of the kingdom of God, and we obey our local rulers. Do you know why? We obey our rulers in all things lawful, always remembering that we obey God before men, but we obey rulers for this one reason. Jesus tells us to do that. And earthly rulers who have no fear of Christ hate that. They want total obedience. They want total surrender of their citizens. And we say, no, our loyalties are to the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is in heaven. We will obey you in all things lawful because Jesus tells us to. Societies that base their faith and their security upon human power, whether that's gold or silver, whether that's might of arms, whatever it might be, are afraid as the kingdom of God keeps advancing. It doesn't make sense, but that's the insanity that sin causes. Rahab is scared, but she admits it. And rather than closing in, like city gates going shut, rather than closing in her life, she opens it up to these two men, these two spies. And she says these most significant words in verses 9 and following. You know, a lot of ink has been spilled about discussing her lie, and that's an appropriate topic in the appropriate point. But never let what she tells the king of Jericho overshadow the truth that she tells. Verses 9 and following, she's going to tell the truth, and this is what she says. I know that the Lord has given you the land. Now think of it. The Israelites are still on the east side of a flooding Jordan River. They have not yet crossed. They have not yet marched around the city. She's a prostitute. She's not a political expert. She's not a theologian. She is not a university professor. She's a woman who lives in immorality. But she says the truth. I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know that because among all the gods in heaven and on earth, yours is the greatest God of all. Her confession is so simple, like one who is just taking those early steps out of a pagan and polytheistic background, taking steps towards the kingdom of God. And what is the basis of her faith? Well, she's confessing this on the basis of some stories. I mean, how long ago did the Exodus event happen? 40 years ago. I don't know if she's 40 years old herself, but 40 years ago, Israel came out of Egypt, and the story of that still circulated. And the more recent defeats of Sihon and Og, the Amorite kings. That's all she knew. That's what she knows. She knew simply some truth stories about God leading Israel to victory, and she believed. I know that the Lord has given you the land. Congregation, that raises an important question for us today in the year 2015. What do you know? Young people, what do you know? What have you heard? What have you learned? What do you believe on the basis of what you've heard and learned and know? Rahab did not have the blessings and the benefit of years and years of catechism, Sunday school, Christian homeschool or Christian day education. She did not have that. What have you heard that God has done? Does that make any difference today in churches where we do have catechism and Sunday school and Christian education going on? Examine yourselves to say, okay, what do I really believe? When all is said and done, this is what I've learned, and it must be more than just facts in my mind. It must change and transform my heart. What do I know? What do I believe? Do I change because of what I know and affirm and embrace as the truth? Is God the great winner of history? Do I know that? Or to put it more bluntly, where do Christian homes, Sunday school, catechism, and Christian education pay off in your life? You've heard the stories of the gospel. We recite them all the time, and we must. Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived the perfect life according to God's law. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was sentenced to a death on a cross. Not any death. Not any death, but the death that was cursed of God. He rose again from the dead. He really did. He physically came out of the grave. Lord of lords, King of kings. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And right now, a real Lord Jesus Christ is directing history from the right hand of the Father. He has an iron scepter. He intercedes for you. He's pleading your case before the Father. He really is. Does that make any difference to Christian people today? You've heard the stories of the gospel. Now, do you believe it? Fearfully? Imperfectly? I want to be sensitive and patient. I do. Because when people say, you know, Pastor, I struggle with some things in my faith. I've got questions. Wonderful. Let's think about those questions. Let's wrestle with them together. Let's examine the scriptures to see what are the truths, what are the facts. We can all have imperfect faith and we can all have insufficient knowledge. But the question is this: do we believe in God? Do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with what we already know? Look how wonderful the working of the Holy Spirit is in her heart. She doesn't know much, but what she knows, she believes. And it's on that basis that Rahab the Canaanite makes this great confession of the truth. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your God is the God, He's the great God of heaven and earth. Rahab the Canaanite believed more in God with less knowledge than did the 10 Israelite spies. They actually walked out of Egypt. They did. They saw the walls of water on each side as they walked out. Those 10 spies, were fed with manna from heaven. They drank water that came from a rock, which was Christ. They were sustained miraculously. And then when they come to spy out the land of Canaan, we're little grasshoppers compared to these people. We'll never win. You know, they say seeing is believing. Well, those 10 spies saw, but they didn't believe. Rahab never saw the great events that she heard about, but she believed. She believed. Rahab had a fearful faith. But she acted on the basis of that fearful faith, didn't she? That's why James holds her up in James chapter 2, along Abraham and Rahab, the great father of the faith and a prostitute from Jericho, as one whose faith had works that gave evidence that the faith that she had was a living faith. She hid 2 spies. Now consider what that meant. from time to time in the United States, we get news accounts of so-and-so was uncovered as a spy. They perhaps were selling secrets to this country or to that country. And you know typically what we do with spies who are caught in our country? They get 20 years. Do you think that the king of Jericho would have given her 20 years of imprisonment? Without batting an eye, she would have been slaughtered, and her family with her. And therefore, in hiding those spies, she was taking a life and death risk for herself and for her family. Faith makes a believer do some strange, unusual things, doesn't it? She sacrificed her life in Jericho, and she pledged allegiance to the Lord, the kingdom of God, in whatever way she understood it at that point. That was an example of her work, but she did more. She also brought in with her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, and all that belonged to them. I'm not saying they were all believers, but in that culture, you don't abandon your loved ones. It's just like what Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Rahab the Canaanite harlot, Rahab of such fearful faith, brought life to her whole family. They were spared when the conquest finally comes. Praise God for His amazing mercy. And that, brothers and sisters, brings us to the end of the story, doesn't it? The whole episode. By this faith, in which she is scared to death, but still confesses the truth and acts in accordance with it, she lives. How? She lives by the mercy of her Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, yes, He hasn't been born in history yet at this point in Joshua 2. And yet Jesus the Christ is so involved in this story that we cannot walk away without speaking of Him. For the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned that not one of His chosen ones, not one of His elect, are ever lost. Not one of the elect will ever be lost. Jesus Christ comes to save, and He saves some pretty unusual, surprising, and very interesting people, like you and me. Tamar, a Canaanite who seduces her father-in-law. Ruth, a Moabitess who comes and is engrafted into the line of the covenant. And Rahab, a harlot. Joshua 6:25 says that Joshua saved her and her household alive. Now, that's true. That's true. True enough. But Joshua spared her because of the covenant promise. The spies made a promise. They keep it. But that was only because behind the work of this earthly Joshua stands the work of another Joshua, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is redeeming this Canaanite, taking her into His people, into the kingdom of God, so that she might become His mother. Later on, she marries a son who is a prince of Judah. And in doing so, she becomes an ancestress of David, but an ancestress of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now remember now, she is a fallen woman. She is a fallen woman. And as a citizen of Jericho, she enters the story as one who is doomed to destruction. For God's commandment was clear to His people. The whole city of Jericho is to be utterly destroyed. And she is a citizen. She was marked as one to be utterly destroyed. She should have died. But instead, she saved by grace through faith. A faith that still had a long ways to go, but it was faith. She certainly grew up outside of the church. And God's first action, the first action of God in conquering the promised land, is to subdue the heart of a Canaanite prostitute. Jericho is not the first thing conquered. Rahab's heart is conquered first. Who says that the God of the Old Testament is a bloodthirsty God who is bent on everyone's destruction? Rahab is a kind of first fruits, a first fruits of the harvest, for she assists the conquest, in a sense, because if you read the closing verses of Joshua 2, the report the spies bring back to Joshua, the son of Nun, is basically the words that Rahab gave them. Rahab says, you know, we're all faint-hearted because of you. And the spies go back and say to Joshua, they're all faint-hearted. God is going to give us the land. All the inhabitants are faint-hearted. She basically writes the report for them. Rahab is a kind of first fruits, but not in death, but in life. In life. She identifies with the church, the people of God. And she is honored by God by becoming an ancestor of the Messiah. My God, how wonderful thou art. Joshua 2, therefore, is just one of those marvelous stories of the Old Testament that mark Advent. You know what the word Advent means? It means coming. It means an arrival of one who comes. Because the Bible throughout the Old Testament is confirming this, that the Messiah is on his way. He's coming. He will arrive sometime. Are your hearts ready? Are your hearts prepared to receive the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Jesus is coming back. Oh, how I fear thee, living God, with deepest, tenderest fears, and worship thee with trembling hope and penitential tears. Is there that kind of trembling and penitence and repentance among the people of God today? Or has the doctrine of Christ's coming again become just another doctrine that is, you know, chapter 6 in our study of theology? Or is it a real living hope of the church today? Yet I may love thee too, O Lord, almighty as thou art, for thou hast stooped to ask of me the love of my poor heart. God stooped down. He went into the city of Jericho and he conquered a prostitute for the sake of the glory of his name. I think that's amazing news. Absolutely amazing. What will bring the world to Jesus Christ? Let me tell you this. It will be an impressive story. The story of the gospel. Not the story of my experience. That's not all that interesting. But the story of what God has done for the world in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. What will we bring to the world? Again, an impressive story of a God who stoops down to save even Canaanite prostitutes. By grace, through faith, they get life. It's the same gospel. It's the same gospel that we today know with fuller and greater light because of what Jesus Christ has done. That life is in Jesus Christ. Remember and believe that by a fearful faith, Rahab lives. And brothers and sisters, she is also now one of those trophies that God's grace has conquered. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your amazing grace, for the way that you prepare the soil of hearts and implant into those hearts the seed of the gospel. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that that seed may also flourish in our own hearts and lives, that we may come to know who you are, to glorify you and to confess that, and to live in such a way that the world may find unusual, sometimes even strange, sometimes offensive. And yet, gracious God, we live not according to the will of this world, but according to your word and according to its light. And so, Father, let the light of the gospel always light the way before us so that in our life we might confess you, in our life we might show ourselves obedient to the glory and honor of your name. May that be true for us tonight. May that be true for everyone here, for every home that is represented, that we may live by faith for the glory of your name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.